Y'all don't mean it. You don't mean it. Ah. All right, all right. Be seated, be seated. Amen. All right, be seated, be seated. Amen, amen, amen. I do appreciate that, but none of you mean it. Amen. Pharisees, Pharisees. And but no, praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here today. And it's good to be back. It's good to be back. And 25 years ago, I walked into this campus as a freshman. And boy, oh boy, I can't believe it's been that long. Now I look around the room and I see some familiar faces. And you know what I think of faithfulness. Thank you, Brother John Francis here behind me, leading church ed class when I was a stupid freshman sitting right over here, amen. And I look back up there, see Brother Pins, man, taught Greek and Hebrew to me. Brother Fish up there, man, I'm Brother Fish, good to see you, brother. And I remember messages used to preach and I still remember, I was thinking up here this morning, I saw you thought of a message you preached, and I still remember that message. Brother Snipes back there, he was my dorm soup, amen. No, don't pay him any money. He's not going to tell you any stories, amen. And there's probably others. But praise the Lord. Brother Stubblefield, good to see you, brother. And man, faithfulness, amen, faithfulness. And sure do appreciate that. You know, I was a little bit concerned. I walked out here on the platform, and I thought that Hiles Anderson dropped its standards. Because I see Samuel Abel with his arm around a girl. But then I remembered they got married a couple weeks ago, so it's all good, amen. It's all good. Good to see Brother Samuel. And this is how old I am. When I was a youth pastor for Brother Ross, Samuel was a kid. I don't know if he was still wearing diapers yet or if he was still wearing diapers, but he was a kid. And so, but no, good to see Samuel, and congratulations, and so good stuff, amen. Well, it's good to be here. Thank God for Hiles Anderson College, amen. Thank God there's still a place turning out young people, still young people coming to serve the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, young people, there's nothing better than serving God, nothing better. Now, the devil's going to make you try to deceive you into thinking there may be some things better, but there's not, amen. Just serve God with your life. I promise you 100 years from now, you're going to be thankful that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Nobody on their deathbed ever said, I wish I wouldn't have served God with my life. Nobody's ever said that. There's been a lot of people that have on their deathbed regretted not serving God with their life. Just spend your life. Hey, how about this? Take the vapor of life God's given you and don't waste it. Don't waste your vapor. Spend it serving the Lord. Amen? Let's take our Bibles this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I'm going to read the first four verses of this chapter with you here. And also good to see my good friend, Brother Judah. And I appreciate Brother Judah. He comes preaches for me every year. And usually the last week of October. This year is going to be the first of November. Come, preaches a youth rally and stays over, preaches the weekend for me. And I appreciate you, brother. And a good seeing you today. Deuteronomy chapter 20, and I don't know what your custom is around here, but at our church, we stand when we read the Bible. So let's stand. And Deuteronomy chapter 20, I'm going to read the first four verses of this chapter, and then we'll preach down through some other verses in the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you come nigh into the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God, he it is that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." Let us pray. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us this morning. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into this service. We want you here. We ask that you'd speak to our hearts. We ask, Lord, for the preaching of your word, God, that you would light a fire deep down inside, Lord, that would burn, Lord, for you, God. Take your word. Keep the promise, Lord. We know you will, where your word would not return void. Speak to us, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Young people, we're living in a day and age where you're seeing things, experiencing things, knowing about things that most adults in this room growing up never had to face. You're familiar with sins of a culture, yes, that have always been around. Yes, that have always been part of the wickedness of mankind. But at least here in America, for the most part, have kind of been kept behind the scenes. Sins that even the lost world thought were a bit much to be embraced by most of the culture, but not so today. I'm not going to go into detail. We're not going to glorify that stuff. But listen, all of you know exactly the type of things that we're talking about that's flaunting themselves in the face of all to see. You may be wondering and asking yourselves, why now? Why in our lifetime are we seeing these things so open, so in your face that people don't give a rip what others think, they don't care what Christians think, and they for sure don't care what the God of heaven thinks? Although there are many biblical reasons why we're seeing these things come to fruition right in our day. Today, the message isn't so much concerned about the why, as much as I want to encourage and challenge you to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. I want to preach you today out of this chapter, and I want to preach you on this subject, a warrior's mentality. A warrior's mentality. You got to understand something. When God saved us and set us on the path He set us on, listen, hey, God didn't save you just so you could go to heaven. You understand that, right? If that were the case, as soon as you got saved, boom, we'd be there. Amen? God didn't save you just to take you to heaven. Hey, well, thank God for heaven. Thank God for the finish line, for the end result. Hey, that's not the only reason He saved you. By the way, He didn't save you just to sit. Amen? God has saved us and called us to be involved in the battle. By the way, not just to be present, but as Paul admonished Timothy, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And you young people, as you are transitioning into adulthood, you need to start thinking of yourself differently. Listen, God doesn't want you to be weak. He doesn't want you to be a wimp. He doesn't want you to run and hide when things get tough. He wants for you and commands for you to be a warrior for Him. In order to be a warrior for God, though, you must have a warrior's mentality. And that's what I want to give you a few simple things out of this passage this morning. How to have a warrior's mentality. Number one, first and foremost, you must expect a battle. You must expect a battle. Look at the first word in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Say it together with me. You ready? When. Let's try it again. Amen. You're a little sleep this morning. Let's try it again. Ready? When. You look down in verse 2, you know what word you find? When. You look down to verse 9, you know what word you find? When. Verse 10, when. Verse 13, when. Verse 19, when. Hey, not if, but when. The first and foremost thing you must understand is this: you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight in the Christian life. I like what Dr. Roloff, the plane, used to set his crash plane on the other side of that wall when I was in college. I love the song he used to sing. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. One of the interesting things you find as you read through the Scripture is that God's people face battle after battle after battle. Hey, it never stops. Now listen, hey, you read about the children of Israel, they were always invading a land, defending their land, conquering a new territory. It was literally a way of life. By the way, God's people have always been warriors. Just in this chapter alone, the word battle and fight are used 8 times. Now, I know we got to be careful when we're talking about fighting when there's a bunch of young men present in the room. Amen? I mean, listen, if we're not careful, you might translate what I'm trying to say into WrestleMania in the dorm room, okay? But no. By the way, you know what? There's something that God instilled in young men about liking a fight, liking a battle, and liking weapons. By the way, if you're a man here today, amen, and you don't like that, okay, then you know what? I got good news for you. There's an old-fashioned altar down here. And here in just a few minutes, you can come and get right with God about that area in your life. When I was a kid, man, I was obsessed. I forgot to say this. I'm glad my family's here with us today, amen? And now, listen, I don't have my 3 daughters with me here today. although a lot of people literally in the last couple months have mistaken my wife for my daughter, amen? And great compliment for her, not so much for me because I look old, right? But now my family's here today, and I appreciate them coming up and driving up and being a part. But hey, when I was a kid, I like to make weapons, okay? You can ask my mom. She's here today, man. My favorite thing as a kid was a broomstick and a roll of black electrical tape, and I made all kinds of crazy weapons from that kind of stuff. I mean, I love making weapons, and I kind of passed that down to my sons, and I'm going to tell, y'all know my son Elias, right? Okay, I'm going to tell a story on Elias. Oh, man, he's like, no. So last summer, we had to run Elias up to a doctor's appointment in Indianapolis. And we get out of the car and we get ready to go in. And, you know, these Indianapolis hospitals, now you got to walk through metal detectors. And he stops and he's like, uh-oh, I got to go back to the car. And so we go back to the car and he takes out two knives and a pair of brass knuckles out of his pocket. And you say, were you mad at him? Yes, I was mad at him. I said, Elias, you're always supposed to have seven weapons, not three on you. What's wrong with you? Didn't I not train you right? Amen. Hey, listen, Christian life is a battle. It's a battle. You're going to have to fight. By the way, today the enemy's not the same. God hasn't called us to utterly destroy the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, mosquito bites, all those bites that were mentioned in there, amen? But listen now, hey, that doesn't mean we don't have an enemy that doesn't need to be fought against. It doesn't mean that, listen, in some instances the battle's even more difficult because the enemies aren't flesh and blood. The weapons aren't of this, aren't carnal of nature. And I'm going to tell you something, young people, it's a battle you got to fight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 reminds us, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled themselves with the affairs of this life that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Hey, if you're going to have a warrior's mentality, you better chalk it up right now. Expect a battle. Expect a battle. Number two, exclude the odds. I love this. Exclude the odds. Look what it says again in verse 1. It says this, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. That word exclude means to remove from consideration. It means to completely rule it out. You know, most of the time when God does great things, delivers great victories, and performs miraculous things, it's usually when it doesn't make a lot of sense to human reasoning. It's usually when it doesn't make sense to us. I mean, hey, compared to the enemies around them, Israel, was outnumbered. In a lot of cases, humanly speaking, they were out-armored. That meant the enemies had the advantage. They had better ground. They had better weapons. They had way more people. But guess what? Israel had something their enemies did not, and that's the God of heaven. Amen. Joshua chapter 11, you read about that. It says in verse 4, and they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that's on the seashore, and multitude with horses and chariots, very many. Those were the enemies of God's people. Judges chapter 7, verse 12, and the brother Gideon and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the sea for the multitudes. Hey, God's people were outnumbered. David, when he fought Goliath, Goliath was bigger than him. Goliath was badder than him. You read in the story about Elisha and when him and his servant, and his servant was all concerned about the Assyrian army, and God opened his eyes, and hey, you know what he saw? He saw that they were more with them that were against him. Amen? I'm here to tell you this morning, young people, God is greater than the odds. God does some of his greatest work when the odds and circumstances are against us. So listen, if you're going to have a warrior's mentality, you must expect a battle, but you better exclude the odds. You better exclude the odds. Just rule out it making a much human reasoning. Just rule out that. It may not make sense to people. People may think that, man, what are you even trying to do, accomplish that for God? Why are you trying to go there doing this? Why are you trying to make this happen this way? Hey, if God is in it, then guess what? Nothing can stop you. Amen? Expect a battle. Number two, exclude the odds. Number three, embrace instruction. Embrace instruction. Look, if you will, there in verse 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 20. It says this, and it shall be that when you come nigh into the battle, notice this, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. And then down in verse 5, and the officers shall speak unto the people. Verse 8, and the officers shall speak further unto the people. Verse 9, and it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, and they shall make them captains of the armies to lead the people. You know what we see in these verses, young people? God's chain of authority. God's chain of authority. Listen now, you will never be the warrior God wants for you to be if you don't have a teachable attitude. Listen, you'll never be what God wants you to be if you're not teachable. Let me help you young people with something this morning, okay? You don't know everything. Hey, I'm not saying you don't know some things, but you don't know everything. You realize today in this building, with all your teachers and those that are on staff here at the college, these dear people that have given their lives to be here and instruct you, you realize in this room today there are hundreds of years of combined life experience to you to learn from? Okay, you, average age, probably 18, 19, 20, 21. That means this, you have 18, 19, 20, 21 years of life experience under your belt. You got to start somewhere. I'm going to tell you right now, why would you not humble yourself enough and be smart enough to tap into the hundreds of years of life experience that's sitting all around you? Let me tell you a phrase I can't stand hearing a young person say, I know. I taught in the Christian school for 12 years, and I had all kinds of different students. And I remember, I used to teach algebra class, and I had this one kid in my algebra class, and every time I'd try to help him, he'd always say that, I know, I know. Finally I said, hey, no you don't. Shut up, you don't know. You're the student, I'm the teacher. Amen? Now listen, young people, hey, right now you're learning to be the warrior God wants you to be. But guess what? You still have a ways to go. The book of Proverbs, 23 times you read this phrase, my son, and it's always followed with commands like this, hear, walk not, consent thou not, receive, attend, keep, right? You got to learn things. Isn't that why you're here, by the way? You're here to learn? I mean, listen, anybody that goes into the military, what's the first thing they have to do? They have to go to boot camp, a place of instruction, a place to get ready for the battle. I remember thinking back to my years at Hiles Anderson. I remember learning soul winning from Dr. Larry Smith. By the way, not as much in the classroom as much as I learned actually going soul winning with Brother Smith. I remember evening college learning from Brother Sam Sprunger. He's in heaven now. Some of you don't even know who that is. I remember learning from him. Brother Pins, I would want to say, brother, that I learned Hebrew and Greek, brother, but man, I don't know that I learned a lot. Amen? But you know what I did learn? The faithfulness of a man willing to teach something that's super hard to learn. Most people can't understand. But hey, he was back teaching it 25 years. He's still here teaching it. Amen. I learned from that. Now listen, young people, listen to me. Hey. We're having a little fun this morning, but you need to learn. You need to have a teachable attitude. Teachable attitude. By the way, that never stops, by the way. That never stops. You don't ever reach a point in life where, well, I don't need to know anything else. Listen, you're always supposed to be learning something. Every single day, ask the Holy Spirit when you walk to the Lord in the morning, Lord, would you teach me something today? Amen? Ask Him to teach you something as you open the Word. Ask Him to teach you something through the experiences and the people you meet in life. Hey, if you're going to have a warrior's mentality, you must embrace instruction. Number 4, if you're going to have a warrior's mentality, you must eliminate distractions. Look what it says back in verse 5 through 7. The officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in a battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in a battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in a battle and another man take her. By the way, these are not sinful things. These are things that were, it was right and proper to be involved in. Listen, having a new house, having a vineyard, marrying a wife, they're not sinful. But listen, now if you're not careful, the things of this life have a potential of distracting you from the battle. Listen now, hey, Saint will take what he can get. He wants your soul is what he wants. But if you're saved, he can't have that, thank God. But you know what? He'll take your effectiveness. Hey, if he can't get you to fall into some deep sin, then he'll try and distract you from being the warrior that God wants you to be. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, reminds us about that great cloud of witnesses. And then it says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You got to learn to lay things aside. You got to lay them aside. Remember when God came down and kicked me out of my comfort zone when I was working for Brother Ross. By the way, be glad God comes along and kicks us out of our comfort zone from time to time. Amen. Listen, I loved what I did. I'm still good, great friends with Pastor Ross. You know, God had another plan for my life. And God confirmed to me that he wanted us to go to Princeton and plant that church. And I remember walking around my property at night under the stars, just making sure that was God's will for my life. And I remember once we started that process, listen, God put on my mind, hey, this is what I want you to do. And you know what? Thank God for my family who was willing to follow me. You know what we did? Put a for sale sign in the yard. Put the house up for sale. Started getting rid of stuff. I mean, we literally downsized to where we were living in a single wide trailer and a little yard barn. We weren't living in the yard barn. Our stuff was in the yard barn, right? But that was, hey, we just got rid of the stuff. You know why? Because when it comes down to it, stuff's not more important than God's will. It's not more important than God's will. God told us to go to Princeton, start the church. Man, thank God he gave us the help and the grace and the strength to do that. We went down there and started working. You know what, young people? I never had in my mind, it was never a goal that when God moved us to Princeton that we were going to have this or have that. But you know, since we've been there, you know what God's allowed us to do? He's allowed us to build our own house. I never thought that was something. It was never a goal. That was never what we were setting out to do. This last year, our church for this year just bought us a vehicle for this year. Listen, folks, those aren't the goals. That's not what you're striving for. You eliminate the distractions, but if God can know he can trust you and you don't get sucked in by stuff, maybe God might give you some stuff. But it's not about the stuff. It's about the work of God. And you can't allow yourself to get distracted by the things of this life. Remember my grandpa. Man, my grandpa, I miss him a lot. My grandpa got saved when he was 36 years old. And he told the Lord, he says, God, I gave Saint my first 36 years. If you allow me to, I'll give you my last 36. My grandpa, when he got saved, within just the first year or so of being saved, he got on a bus. My grandpa was a bus captain for over 30 years. By the way, God gave him exactly that. Passed away when he was 72 years old. By the way, when we took him to the graveyard, we took him, we didn't put him in the back of a hearse. We put him in the back of the church bus and drove him to the graveyard. But I remember my grandpa, man, he would... Every Saturday, man, he was all about that. I mean, that was his passion. And here he taught me this. He says, you know, when I'm out doing my bus calling, he says, I don't listen to Christian music. He says, I don't have anything because I want to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that he can speak to my heart and tell me, hey, go visit that house. Go to that neighborhood. He says, I don't want anything to distract me from being able to be as effective as I can be when I'm out there on Saturdays visiting my bus route. By the way, you know what? Was it effective? Well, I don't know. His funeral, biggest funeral I've ever attended in my whole life. Over 500 people came to my grandfather's funeral. Standing room only. That line started at the funeral home the night before at 4 o'clock, and it didn't end until 10 o'clock that night, person after person after person, coming to pay their respects to Brother Bo. You know why? Because he had a passion for God, and he didn't let the things of this life distract him from doing God's work. Hey, if you're going to have a warrior's mentality, you got to eliminate distractions. Hey, do you know more about Facebook and Instagram, what other stupid social media that's out there than you do the Word of God? I mean, come on, what's your passion? What's this thing about? Amen? Listen, eliminate distractions. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you can't have fun in life. I mean, listen, we have a blast at White River Baptist Church. I mean, you know, part of what we do is able to connect with people and we have fellowships and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to it, young people, it's about the work of God. And then let me give you one more thing here. If you're going to have a warrior's mentality, number five, you must eradicate the enemy. Eradicate the enemy. Look what it says there in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16. Notice what it says at the end of that verse. thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Verse 17, but thou shalt utterly destroy them. Now what's interesting, if you read some of the previous verses, verses 10 through 13, or 10 through 15, God makes allowance for some of the cities to not be completely destroyed. But yet some of them, God says, completely eradicate them. What's the difference, you may ask? Well, the cities that were to be completely eradicated were the promised cities that were part of their inheritance. They represented the perfect will of God for His people. And what God was telling them was this. It's the same thing, by the way, He's telling us today. Eradicate, destroy, annihilate, totally remove anything that will keep you from fulfilling God's will for your life. By the way, notice what the inhabitants of these cities, the enemies of God, had the potential to do to God's people. Verse 18, that they may teach you not to do after their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so you should sin against the Lord your God. Hey, if as a warrior you don't eradicate the sins of the flesh, the influence of the world, and stand strong against the wiles of the devil, you will do exactly what Israel eventually did. You'll go after the abominations of the enemies and sin against the Lord your God. Let me just remind you, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. By the way, nobody circumvents God's principles. Listen, hey, you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Physically, very good possibility. But you know what? For sure, your effectiveness and your spirituality will wither away to hardly nothing. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Mortify, where we get our English word mortician from. It means, hey, put it to death. Let me tell you one thing you find, especially when Paul's writing those epistles, anytime it comes to the sins of the flesh, when it comes to sins of immorality, you don't try to make peace with it. You don't try to eventually put it off. You kill it. You got to mortify it. I'm going to tell you, if you don't mortify that stuff, it'll kill you as a Christian. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Sad to say, and again, we're not trying to be discouraging. Man, young people that used to sit in this room, under this ceiling right here, heard the same kind of preaching that you hear all the time. You know what? They thought they were the exception for the rule. Hey, young people that I used to minister to that grew up through the Christian school, raised in good Christian families, went to good Bible preaching church, went to a Christian school, had good parents, all the stuff that comes along with that. Hey, they didn't eradicate the enemy. They made peace with it. They embraced it. They defended the enemy instead of defending the things of God. By the way, where are they at today? Are they a warrior standing for right, leading the charge in the battle for the souls of mankind? Nope. They're trophies hanging on the wall of the devil's war room. Several are sodomites. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd never do that. Don't ever say never. Your flesh and my flesh is capable of every sin in the Bible. You give in to one thing, you open that door, your flesh, it's wicked as hell. Amen? Listen, folks, others running around, fornicating, busting up marriages, spending time in prison, drugs, alcohol, you name it, hitting rock bottom. Folks, let me say this. You know the reason that happens, young people, is because we don't eradicate the enemy. Instead of eradicating the enemy, we embrace the enemy. You better understand something. There are certain things in this life you've got to have the right time. You've got to have a righteous indignation toward. And you've got to eradicate those in your life. Oh, I just thought it's all supposed to be about love. Well, you don't know the Jesus of the Bible if that's who you think He was. That's not the Jesus of the Bible, by the way. Amen? So what's it take to have a warrior's mentality? Number one, expect a battle. Number two, exclude the odds. Number three, embrace instruction. Number four, eliminate distractions. Number five, eradicate the enemy. So young people, I'm making a plea to you today. We need you as part of the army of God. Too much is at stake for you not to be the strong warriors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, hell is too hot. Eternity's too long. Your future's too bright. Tonight, join up and be part of all that God wants you to be. Here's a statement I make to our church over and over and over again. 100 years from now, all that's going to matter is what you've done with Jesus Christ and what you've done for Jesus Christ. That's all that's going to matter 100 years from now. Amen? Life is short. Eternity's forever. So, hey, take your vapor of a life and live it for God. Amen. Let's pray.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for who you are, God. Thank you for being a God, Lord, that is worth serving, worth fighting for, Lord. You're just, there's no words to describe it, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, be in your army. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as your people, Lord. Help these young people, God, please. Help them not to get distracted by the things of this life, Lord, but to be the warriors you called for them to be. Bless our invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.